Oh, God bless you. I want to start by reading a verse in the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. The Bible says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Now, I read a verse that says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter, but this is not necessarily going to be the conclusion of the whole matter. This morning, I'll be in lesson what I have listed as lesson 15. The title of it is The Conclusion of the Whole Matter, How to Remain an Old-Time Baptist in a New-Time Society. For those that have the notes, it's on page 83 is where we'll be going this morning. Before I begin, though, let me say this. The Lord willing, and I'm not certain of this, I'm leaning toward this right now. I'm going to wait till the Lord gives me some distinct leadership. What I may be going to next week is this actually was the end of my original notes here and all, and I've been working for the last few weeks on a subject that's related to this, and the title of it is John the First Baptist. John the First Baptist. And so I may begin next week and spend some time on that, and if we do, we'll make that lesson 16. Of this series, and it'll be simply entitled John the First Baptist. If John the Baptist was not the first Baptist, who was? Wow, that's a pretty good question. We need to see if we can find a answer to that. If the baptism that was performed by John the Baptist wasn't Christian baptism, just like the baptism that we have today, what is Christian baptism? What is the difference between the baptism that John performed in his ministry as the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ? Boy, a lot of interesting questions. Now, if we decide to go that way, I'm leaning that way. I haven't just made up my mind for sure. But if we decide to go that way, we'll probably be on it several weeks. It's going to be a little different. We're going to spend a lot of time in the Scripture, in the Word of God. We're going to read a lot of Scripture. I'm going to ask you folks to read a lot of Scripture and all during that time, and we'll probably spend more time reading the verses from the Bible during those lessons, and we will talk to me, and that'll be a blessing in and of itself. You just won't have to listen to me as much, so that's got to be a good thing there. And also, if the Lord will allow us to do that, that's where we're going to go. But let's begin now our lesson this morning, the conclusion of the matter, how to remain old-time Baptist in a new-time society. The biblical writer said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. Fear God and keep His commandment. Folks, my heart's desire through this entire study, we've been on it, truly, I'd have to go back at the end of each week. I write down the date and where I stopped on my notes, and I'd have to go back. I truly do not remember. I haven't looked at that. I don't remember when we started. I know we've been on this for a few months now, quite a few weeks. And through all this time, my heart's desire has simply been this. I have desired to excite you about our wonderful and godly Baptist heritage in the hope that you, along with myself, I'm talking about me too, in the hope that all of us would be inspired and excited and moved by the Spirit of God to want to pass this wonderful godly heritage that we have as Baptists on to the next generation. Now, our problem is that many Bible preachers and teachers just like me have just not done a good job about saying enough about this over the years. You know, in all these years that I've been preaching and teaching, I started preaching in 1975, May of 1975. In all of these years, even though much of this information has been knowledgeable to me during a lot of that time, this study that I've done in here is the first time in my entire life that I've ever done a study of this detail and took it this far and went this long. Folks, I'm persuaded as I look back that I probably missed God's will at some different times during my life when I had the opportunity to stand before churches and congregations and Sunday school classes and do Bible studies. I'm persuaded that I probably missed it at some points in time, and I should have been doing this for a long, long time, maybe for the past several decades. And so I'm trying to make up for lost time, I suppose, in this. But folks, I trust that you're inspired. Isn't it amazing? You see, God has been good. I kind of liken this to, and this is not in my notes, but I kind of liken this to being born in America. You know, I didn't have any say-so in that. I just consider that the grace of God. I could have been born in a communist country. I could have been born in a totally atheistic society where I would never have had the opportunity to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and be born again. I finally agreed to go to church with him one night, one day. It was a Sunday morning. Folks, that was the first time in my entire life. Grew up in the Bible Belt, 19 years old. The first time in my life I ever heard a clear presentation of the gospel and how you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior was on that Sunday morning. A month later, on Sunday night, February the 24th, 1974, I got saved. I trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Now, folks, listen. If I had been influenced by a false religion in some way, I probably would have fell into that thing lock, stock, and barrel. I didn't know anything from anything. I wouldn't have known better than anything else. But God in His grace saw fit to allow me to be born again, become a member of a Bible-believing, independent Baptist church. And from sometime shortly after that, I began to study these things and realize that we had a wonderful, wonderful heritage. And folks, that's what I've desired through all this time, is to excite you about our godly Baptist heritage in the hope that you and I together will be willing to pass this on and be willing to give someone a reason. If somebody says, well, you know, why are you a member at that Baptist church? Why not at the Methodist church or the Presbyterian church or some other denomination? Why are you a member of that Baptist church? We ought to be able to give them a Bible reason why we are. Now, the conclusion of the matter, how to remain old-time Baptist in a new-time society. Folks, listen, it's not an easy task to pass on our godly Baptist heritage to the next generation. The spirit of Antichrist is waging an endless campaign. I'm in the first paragraph on page 83 there. The spirit of Antichrist is waging an endless campaign for all denominations to put aside our differences, that is to compromise, and to come together as one big happy family, that is the godless one world church. Now listen, for a lot of those denominations, it's not very hard for them to come together. You know why? They don't stand for anything anyway. They don't stand for the Bible as their only rule for faith and practice. They don't have any dedication to the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're not concerned about the will of God. And so for them to come together, no compromise is really involved. But for you and I, as Bible believers, if we were to come together with all of that crowd, there would be great compromise involved for you and I. We'd have to lay aside our Bible convictions, would have to compromise those in order to join with a crowd like that, and it's just not permissible. Mm-hmm. How about that? And it's coming, and that'll find its fulfillment in the tribulation period, in what I refer to as the scarlet harlot in the tribulation period. It's all building toward that. This Bible revision thing, this Bible perversion thing, all of that is designed to break down Bible convictions, commitment to the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, to lay all that aside and come together in one big compromising conglomerate. Faithful Baptists have always been accused of bigotry and exclusiveness for being the blame for lack of unity among the denominations. Could I say that's not untrue? That's not untrue. And it's nothing to be ashamed of as a Bible believer. You know what? We have always been the one group that has not been willing to fall in line. We have been those people that said, wait a minute, we are not going to give up our Bible convictions in order to fall in line with you. And folks, listen, history, we've talked about it in this class. History has revealed, history has recorded, they have hated us and they've killed us by the millions over the centuries because we were not willing to fall in line. You'll be blamed for those same things, that is, for bigotry and exclusiveness. You'll be blamed for those same things and more today if you refuse to join with other denominations to do some good community project or whatever it is. Now remember, if you're going to join with another group that are not Bible believers, the only way that we can do it and there be unity between them and us is for us to compromise. That's the only way that it can be done. Oh my. I beseech you to not be willing to surrender what our Baptist forefathers have bled and died for. We've got to always be vigilant. Our adversary, the devil, will sneak in even when we think we're watching. The danger may come as something that's obviously evil, like the ecumenical one world church. It may be something that's not quite as apparently wrong, like an organized convention or an association or fellowship of churches, whatever they may want to call that. All the aforementioned are unscriptural because they're foreign to the Bible and put local Baptist churches in subjection to them. Could I just stop and say here again? The Bible teaches the autonomy of the local church. That is, that we're not supposed to be a part of nor subject to any other body or any other organization. Folks, according to the Word of God, the Philadelphia Baptist Church is an independent congregation, and no outside force is supposed to dictate to this church how we serve our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're to be autonomous in our worship. The only organization established, now watch it, in the Bible, the only organization established and commissioned in the New Testament is the local church. There's not one mention or hint of any other organization. If God had intended for churches to organize themselves into bigger organizations, surely He would have given some indication of that in the Word of God. And the fact is that He hasn't. I want to turn to the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 21. And I want to read a verse, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 21. If I can find Ephesians 3:21, the Bible says this, "Unto Him be glory." Now watch it very carefully. "Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is supposed to be glorified in the local church, and organizations such as conventions and associations and fellowships, etc., rob God of the glory that's due Him that comes through the local church. Man-made organizations produce compromise. I'm talking about being an old-time Baptist in a new-time society. And remember, before 1845, which is when the Southern Baptist Convention was born as a result of a dispute over slavery between the Baptist churches in the North and the Baptist churches in the South, before 1845, all Baptist churches were independent. They were all independent. Now, there were some loose fellowships that started all the way back at Sandy Creek in North Carolina. Remember, Shubal Stern started the first camp meeting. But folks, those were just loose attachments. They were just a time for churches voluntarily to come together for encouragement and preaching and fellowship. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm talking about something more. I'm talking about conventions that form, and while in some men's minds they may have had a good intent to start with, the result is always the same. The result is that that convention, whether it's called a convention, a fellowship, an organization, whatever the title of it may be, it always works the same way. As the years go by, they grow in power, they develop their own committees, and that body then begins to directly or indirectly dictate to local churches And folks, that's wrong, and that's against the Word of God. Man-made organizations produce compromise. To keep unity in the organization, each church has to practice compromise. Let me use the Southern Baptist Convention again. Let's just say, now stay with me. Listen, you're not going to hear this much from many people, so you might as well listen at least one time without being mad at me. To be mad at me after I finish, but at least listen to what I'm saying this morning. Let's just say that the Southern Baptist Convention was good when it first started. And listen, there have been in the past, and there are today, and I've said this time and again, but lest you forget it, there have been some good Southern Baptist churches in the past, and there's some good Southern Baptist churches today. There's few and further between than they ever were before now, but there's still some out there. But even the good ones are wrong in that they're associated with something that's unscriptural, and that's the convention. But let's just say that the Southern Baptist Convention was good and right at the very beginning, in 1845 when it was founded. Now, here's where I'm going with this. I said that man-made organizations produce compromise. Here's what happened. It didn't take very long. You remember William Whitsett, who was a Southern Baptist. He was the president of the Southern Baptist Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. He went to Germany for his postgraduate studies. He learned German modernism and liberalism. He came back to America, and then as the president of the Southern Baptist Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky, in the late 1800s, he began to teach heresy concerning baptism as it relates to Baptists. And even though he was a Baptist, he taught heresy concerning Baptists and our history. Other historians followed his false leadership. Now, here's where I'm going with this. Man-made organizations always produce compromise. Winsett, even back in the 1800s, drew good churches along with him, and they went down the tube because of following him. That same thing has repeated as the Southern Baptist Convention itself has gone further and further and further to the left. Many churches that at one time, even though they were Southern Baptists and said that they were strong, independent, fundamental Bible-believing, they followed that convention to the left, and today they're in total apostasy. The Bible says that we are to earnestly contend for the faith. That's all of it. That's all the Word of God, not just one part. There's a lot of ministries out there that in and of themselves are doing a good thing. I'm not going to name any. I've got some on my mind. I'm not even going to name one because if I do, that's all you're going to think about. You're going to think I'm picking them out as being worse than all the others, and that's not it. But a one-issue ministry, there's a lot of them. Some of them today are, for the most part, good. But here's what always happens. If they're only interested in one issue, instead of all the Word of God, eventually they will always compromise in order to get others to support them on that one issue. They'll let other things go and let anybody that's willing to support them on that issue come in and join with them, and it always results in compromise. Wow, that's pretty rough, Brother Kirkpatrick. Anyway, let's move on. These groups strive to... I'm talking about organized conventions, whether it's called a convention, the Bible Baptist Fellowship, it's the same as the Southern Baptist Convention or the American Baptist Convention or the whatever, there's dozens of others that we can name. It's just got a different name. It's the same type of an organization. But these organizations take the God-given responsibilities from the church and place them in man-made organizations. Folks, they'll lead you to believe after a while that they're the ones that are responsible for evangelizing the world, and they're not. The entity that's responsible for evangelizing the world is the local church. It's the only organization, it's the only organism that God ever ordained to take the gospel to the world is the local church. Man-made organizations have always failed. History bears this out. All you have to do is look at one after another. Many of the conventions that I had mentioned, let me turn back there. I can't remember all those. I don't even try to keep up with. The American Baptist Churches USA, the Southern Baptist, the National Baptist Convention of America, the Progressive National Baptist Convention, the American Baptist Association, the Baptist Missionary Association, the Bible Baptist Fellowship, the General Association of Regular Baptists, the Conservative Baptist Association, the Free Will Baptist, the General Baptist, and on and on and on we could go. The results is always the same. It ends up with compromise, apostasy, formality, and finally oblivion. Those organizations always crash and burn. They go out of existence. And the shame is that they always drag some churches down with them when they fall. Folks, listen. The highest organization that God ever ordained for God's people to be associated with and to work through to do the work of God in this age is the local church. The local church. Christians and churches learn to rely upon the organization rather than upon God. By the way, as these organizations begin to fail and they begin to compromise, here's what happens to the good churches that are involved in them. Many times the good churches, in the misplaced loyalty that they have, I'm talking about good churches, begin to stereotype the churches that are members of that organization that are not wanting to follow the wrong leadership of the organization. And the churches will have one of two choices then. They can either get out or they can compromise. Human nature being what it is, almost always, the churches and preachers compromise. Almost always. Yeah. What is an independent Baptist church? I've got 10 minutes. What is an independent Baptist church? An independent Baptist church believes that the only organization given in the New Testament is the local church. We believe, I need to stop there on a little church doctrine. I do not believe, and this is a controversy among Baptists and so, but that's fine. I'm willing to stand where I stand and that's fine. I don't believe that every mention in the church in the Bible of the local church or the word church is only the local church. I believe the word church is used three different ways in the Bible. It's reused, by the way, the word church or churches appears in your King James Bible, New Testament about 117 times. The word church primarily, the word churches plural about 8 or 10 times. More than 90 of those references to the church is talking about the local church. Just like this church. I believe the word church is used two other ways in the New Testament, though. Number one, it's used in a the sense of all the churches in a given area. The Bible may use the reference the churches that are in Asia Minor. So it's talking about a collective, all the local churches in a general region versus just one church in that region. But also, I do believe that the Bible talks about what I refer to as the comprehensive body of Christ. I don't particularly like the word universal. I don't particularly like the word invisible. I certainly don't like the word mystical. I do believe the Bible teaches a comprehensive sense of the body of Christ. That's for another study. So I just wanted to make sure those of you that are familiar with the doctrine and all, when I talk about the only organization given the New Testament is local church. I'm not saying from the doctrinal standpoint. I'm talking about from a body that is supposed to carry out the Great Commission. We believe that God has given the church as the means of accomplishing His purpose in this age. An independent Baptist church, therefore, does not affiliate or identify themselves with any organized convention, association, or fellowship. An independent Baptist church cooperates with other Baptist churches in missions, in schools, etc., but does so on a voluntary basis and without any unscriptural organization binding the churches together. Let me give you a couple of instances on that. God moved on our pastor's heart to start the Philadelphia Christian School, our day school here several years ago. We have other local churches, independent Baptist churches, that support this work. I think about Brother Dorsey and some of those children. Brother Dorsey has mentioned, and I'm not trying to put words in his mouth and all, but I know that Brother Dorsey has embraced the school here. He's been in favor of it. He sends his he sends children from his church here and all that sort of thing. You see, folks, when I talk about this matter of joining conventions and organizations, I'm not talking about not having any cooperation at all. There's nothing wrong with churches of like precious faith cooperating together for certain things. So maybe in school, revival, that we want to have revival, and pastor has also been one of the leaders in the movement trying to get some of the pastors in the area to get together churches of like precious faith. And they've been meeting here, once a month, and to pray for revival. And so the pastors of several different churches come and they meet here, and they're praying for revival. Folks, that's a good thing. That is just a voluntary cooperation. It doesn't put any unscriptural pressure on each of those other local churches. You see, folks, Philadelphia Baptist Church is not supposed to have any influence or say-so in what any other church in our area does. No other church in this area is supposed to have any say-so about what Philadelphia Baptist Church does. That's how God set it up in the Word of God. The independent Baptist churches refuse to compromise the historical Baptist doctrines for the sake of popular appeal. Now, you watch it. You watch it. We cannot join with other denominations without compromising our Baptist heritage. Listen, if I'm going to join myself with other denominations, non-Baptist groups, Protestant groups, by the way, that don't hold the same Bible beliefs and Bible convictions, don't have the same biblical heritage that we do, I cannot do that without having a lot of trouble with them unless I'm willing to compromise. I can't meet together with them and say, man alive, we've got a glorious Baptist heritage. I can't meet with them and say, you know what? We're the only group that can historically trace our lineage all the way back to the very first New Testament church in the Bible. I can't say that if I'm going to meet with all these other faiths, because I'll offend them and there will be disunity and I'll get kicked out. So you see, if I'm going to meet with them and join with them and I'm going to get along and be a good old boy, then I'm going to have to be more concerned about pleasing them than I am about pleasing my Heavenly Father. And that's just not right. Wow. An independent Baptist church has to rely upon God and give Him all the glory. True Baptists love the church that Jesus loved, and will not have this love and loyalty switched to some man-made organization. An independent Baptist church is not dictated to nor influenced by any head or any headquarters except the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, we've got a glorious heritage as Baptists. It's the same as when we say that we're Baptist, Bible-believing Baptist, it's the same as saying that we're biblical New Testament Christian. Our forefathers made up the very first church in the New Testament. They've been present in an unbroken chain ever since. Today, you and I are representatives of this godly remnant. May we be found faithful until Jesus comes. Amen. My. What a heritage. Folks, as we get further in the last days, as we get further in the last days, it won't be easier than it has in the past to stay true to God. I don't know if I would be correct to say that it's going to be harder. Now stay with me. I don't know for sure. I'm inclined to say it'll be harder as we get further in the last days. But you know what? In past centuries, our Baptist forefathers died to stay faithful. That's the ultimate sacrifice. We can't go any further than that. It may be that that's where we will have to go to stay faithful. I wonder. And I truly don't know the answer. I wonder if they came and got me and took me to jail like they did our Baptist forefathers. I wonder if they took me out to the place of execution, tied me to the stake, ready to set the wood on fire and burn me alive. I wonder if, like they did our Baptist forefathers, publicly, they said to me, "Steve, we're going to give you one last chance to save your life. All you have to do is renounce your allegiance to the Word of God. Renounce your allegiance to Jesus Christ, and we will let you live." I wonder if I'd be faithful. Great multitudes of our forefathers were. Great multitudes of our forefathers said, "You know what? I'm not going to compromise. I'm not going to reject the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to stay faithful. I'm going to stay true. And I'm trusting in Him for a beautiful eternity." Folks, let's be true. God, listen, in America today, God's not even requiring any physical torture or sacrifice at all from you and I to stay faithful. The worst you and I are going to face right now in these days, the worst you and I are going to face is a little bit of ridicule. They're going to ridicule us for staying true to the King James Bible. They're going to ridicule us for saying, "You know what, I believe that an independent Baptist church is the closest thing to a true biblical New Testament church." They're going to make fun of us, and they're going to ridicule, and they're going to say things about us. I wonder, is that too high a price for you and I to pay today? Our forefathers lost all their earthly possessions, lost their family, lost their friends. Many lost their lives. Certainly, you and I can be willing to pay the small price that we're asked to pay today to stay true to our biblical heritage. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for the good word of God. Thank you for a godly heritage. Help us to stand true, to be faithful. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.